This podcast is brought to you by Cross Catholic Outreach. Last year, Cross Catholic Outreach provided over 30 million meals to families in need around the world. Join us in our global effort to reduce material and spiritual poverty. Learn more at crosscatholic.org/bless.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn. I want to welcome you to The Road to Emmaus, a podcast from the St. Paul Center.
Matthias Joseph Schaben may not be a household name, but he played an important role in the formation of two very big household names, Pope St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI. Learn how the St. Paul Center is making his work available to a new generation. Visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road.
Today we're going to be addressing a question. What is the best resource for Catholic apologetics? Now, at once, you recognize that there are a lot of options, a lot of different authors, a lot of different titles. I think back to the last 90 years where you can find Ronald Knox in England, the great convert. You also have Frank Shee, the Australian, who in England and in the U.S. established and spread out the Catholic Evidence Guild, and his handbook on Catholic evidence is so useful. I also think of the Venerable Fulton Sheen and the amazing work that he did. And you could also include other people like G.K. Chesterton. And most recently, we can look at Carl Keating and Pat Madrid, both of whom were there at the beginning of Catholic Answers. You can also multiply other names as well. And I hesitate to mention even those because of all the others that I won't mention. But I think of Dave Armstrong and all of the others who are there at Catholic Answers even now. Jimmy Akin, for example. Trent Horn. And on it goes. But when push comes to shove, I have a bias. I have my own personal opinion, and I hold it rather strongly, although I don't usually verbalize it frequently, because my favorite book is one that is almost entirely unknown until I was blessed enough to have the opportunity to reprint it through Emmaus Road. This is the book. It's entitled Laying the Foundation, A Handbook of Catholic Apologetics and Fundamental Theology. Now, you might wonder, wait a minute, I never heard of that before. Who's the author? Well, the author is Father Joseph Clifford Fenton. And you might say, wait a minute, I've never heard of that man, just like I haven't heard of that title. Well, the book was originally published back in 1943, and it was entitled We Stand with Christ, An Essay in Catholic Apologetics. And Father Fenton at that time was really just getting started. In fact, he had just gotten back from Rome where he had completed his doctorate in fundamental theology and dogmatic theology under the late, great Reginald Garrigou-Lagrange. And when I call Father Reginald Garrigou-Lagrange late and great, I'm not kidding. I would propose that he may prove to be the single most brilliant theologian of the 20th century, certainly the first half. This Dominican theologian was not only into dogmatic theology, but also mystical and ascetical theology. And he had, as a doctoral student, Father Joseph Clifford Fenton. He wrote his dissertation on the concept of theology, which was just recently reprinted with a foreword by a dear friend, Father Cajetan Cuddy. But in some ways, this, I think, is his most accessible book. Even though it weighs in at approximately 500 pages, it is written for the highly motivated and well-educated Catholic layperson. As I said, it was originally entitled We Stand with Christ. Well, that's a rather unimposing title. It's also not all that clear. So in reprinting this and publishing it in the last couple of years, we retitled it, Laying the Foundation, A Handbook of Catholic Apologetics and Fundamental Theology. Why do we retitle it? Well, again, We Stand with Christ was not all that clear. Laying the Foundation, A Handbook of Catholic Apologetics and Fundamental Theology, I think is more precise. Now, what's the difference between apologetics and fundamental theology? Well, we distinguish the two really in order to show how closely united, how inseparably connected they are. What most people mean by apologetics, though, is now usually taught or treated under the subject heading of fundamental theology. I could go on for an hour. I won't. But let me just explain this, that apologetics deals with, you know, defending the faith, answering the common objections. And there's a whole wide range of questions. Fundamental theology is now basically taught in every seminary as a required course, and it's what replaces the course that used to be entitled Catholic Apologetics. Why? Because reason cannot demonstrate the mysteries of faith. If you could provide a rational demonstration for the sacred mysteries of faith, they wouldn't be mysteries of faith. You need the gift of faith. And so what you do in fundamental theology is you lay the fundamentum, that is the foundation, on which you then can erect the cathedral of faith. But reason, in a certain sense, is limited. It can kind of answer the objections. It's sort of capable of moving the boulders and removing the tree stumps so that we can erect the cathedral of faith. We also recognize that there are the preambula fidei, the preambles of the faith, the existence as well as the nature and the attributes of God. That can be rationally demonstrated. So that is the preambles to theology, to faith. You can also address the historical reliability of the Bible, the Gospels in particular, and prove historically that, in fact, Jesus was a historical figure and that he performed these miracles that were attested to not only by his followers, but even his opponents. And so that's another aspect of apologetics that is purely reasonable. But you can't make a rational demonstration for the mysteries of faith because they're supernatural mysteries. On the other hand, you can provide a rational justification for making the act of faith by showing that the motives of credibility are established in theology to show that everything we believe goes beyond reason, but not against reason. Let me say it again. Our faith is reasonable, but it's not rationally provable. So things that we believe, like the Trinity and the Incarnation, the Paschal Mystery, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, these things exceed and transcend reason, but they don't violate logic. And so how do you do that coordination, that balancing act between what faith alone can know, the mysteries of faith, and yet what reason can do? So we distinguish faith and reason, again, to show how when they're united properly, they are capable of clearing out all of the boulders and the tree stumps so that we can proceed to erect this cathedral of faith rationally and faithfully. Fenton does the single best job of laying the foundation. That's why the original title, We Stand with Christ, an Essay in Catholic Apologetics, was true, but it wasn't adequate because he was doing a whole lot more than what used to be labeled Catholic apologetics. He was doing what is now called fundamental theology. Probably the greatest fundamental theologian of our own period is a man who used to be known as Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, a.k.a. Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI. So much of what he did in ecclesiology and other branches was based upon his work in fundamental theology. Again, coordinating and balancing faith and reason. So what does he do? Well, on the one hand, he goes through the proofs for the existence of God to show how human reason is capable from drawing from creation the existence of God, along with the nature of God, as well as the attributes of God. You could also move beyond that into the realm of divine providence. But Father Reginald Garrigou Lagrange, the great Dominican theologian at the Angelicum in Rome, who formed Fenton, who, by the way, also formed another doctoral student a few years later by the name of Father Karol Wojtyła, later known as Pope St. John Paul II. He was actually allowed to go from Poland to Rome precisely for the purpose of doing doctoral work under Garrigou Lagrange. So what we have in Joseph Clifford Fenton is an amazing theologian as well as a priest. He taught for 25 years at Catholic University of America. He also served as editor of the American Ecclesiastical Review, the single most influential academic journal of its kind. I have all of the back issues in my personal library, especially the ones where he served as editor. When Vatican II was announced by Pope St. John the 23rd, there were a number of theologians who assembled in Rome to prepare the preparatory drafts, the schemata. And each bishop or each archbishop or even the cardinals chose a personal theologian, a sort of expert. And the late great Cardinal Ottaviani, certainly not known by anyone as a modernist, who was a kind of anchor. You know, everybody would have expected an Italian cardinal to choose an Italian theologian, but guess who he chose? He chose Father Joseph Clifford Fenton, who traveled then from D.C. to Rome to assist in the drafting of all of these preliminary documents in preparation for Vatican II. No wonder, because he wrote so many books, at least a half a dozen or so. But in some ways, this is the summit, this is the peak, and Ottaviani was undoubtedly familiar with this. So in the first part of this book, Laying the Foundation, I was about to say We Stand with Christ, because that was the title that I was so familiar with for many years in becoming a Catholic and then afterwards teaching apologetics. He deals with the difference between apologetics and fundamental theology. He also shows the mysteries of faith that constitute the content of divine revelation, but he focuses on Scripture, as any good Catholic apologist and fundamental theologian would do. He looks especially at the historical evidences for Jesus of Nazareth being the Christ, the claims that Jesus makes, the miracles that he performs, the ways in which he fulfills the prophecies of the Old Testament. These, again, are called the motives of credibility, to show people who are open how reasonable it is to accept the divinity of Jesus, that he's not just a Jewish man back in the first century, but he's the God-man, the Christ, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. And so going through the Gospels, showing that Jesus is divine and human, that he fulfills the prophecies, especially in his death and resurrection, that he has one single expressed intention to found the church, not many churches, but one church, not our church, but his church. He is the builder. We are the tools. On this rock, I will build my church. And so then he goes through the apostolic witness, the testimony of the miracles, the resurrection. But one of my favorite sections of this book is over 100 pages long, where he goes through systematically dozens and dozens of Old Testament prophecies, the cumulative effect of which is like, oh my goodness, besides the miracles that he performed, the prophecies that he fulfilled mount to the level of this amazing credibility. This faith of ours is so reasonable. It is so believable. You have to make an act of faith, but even the act of faith is entirely credible. It is rational. It is reasonable. And so I would propose to you that a book this size, but a book this readable, may prove yet again to be the single most effective resource, not only in helping Catholics to answer common objections raised by Protestants, raised by non-denominational Christians who don't even think of themselves as Protestants, but non-Christians, Jews and Muslims, but also atheists and agnostics. Today, we live in a postmodern world where the world has lost its story. It's lost its way. It's lost its mind. There really isn't any sense of universal reason or logic that unites us. And so what Fenton is doing in this book, I am convinced, has great potential for sort of enlightening, but also empowering, not in order to go out and win arguments so much as to go out and win all of these potential brothers and sisters in Christ for whom Jesus bled and died every bit as much as he did for us, and to do it in a way that is designed to give us the peace, the serenity, the confidence and the hope that we can answer the questions, we can address the objections, that we can demonstrate that natural theology is indeed rational, that we can know the existence of God, his nature, that he's eternal, self-existent, his aseity, he's omnipotent, he's all-knowing, but also the fact that he is present to us in time and space. And so miracles are possible. Prophecy is also possible. And that when Christ comes performing these miracles, fulfilling the prophecies, and establishing the church, the Catholic Church itself, becomes a motive of credibility. As we read in Dei Filius back in 1870 in Vatican I, something that is also forgotten. He treats this so well. You know, I have used this as a text, and I plan to use it even more. But I would say this, you don't have to sign up for a course and get this as an assigned text in order to appreciate this. Even if it takes you a year or two to read through this book, Laying the Foundation by Joseph Clifford Fenton, I think is going to prove to be the single monumental resource for restoring the fullest possible spectrum of doing Catholic apologetics as well as fundamental theology. I suspect by now you can tell how personally excited and grateful I am for the privilege of getting this book back in print. I'll be honest. We started Emmaus Road Publishing way back in the late 90s with Catholic Genetic for the Faith. I was working with Curtis Martin and Tim Gray and Ted Sree and others. We were doing our own books, Catholic for a Reason, Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4, and a number of other excellent titles. But it didn't occur to me back then that Emmaus Road could also service the church by reprinting classics that have been practically forgotten. Now that we have sort of reunited with Emmaus, now that it is the publishing arm for the St. Paul Center, we have at least 8 or 10 books in line that are going to be reprinted, classics that have been forgotten. This is sort of like the first. So I encourage you to get hold of this. Even if it takes a little bit of time to get through, I would also encourage you to recommend to your family members and friends, because this is a landmark study. It's not that well known, but in a few years, I think it will be. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for staying with me this far, because if you are still with me, I think you're going to be sorely tempted in a very good way to get this book and to share it with other people. Why don't we conclude our time together in a word of prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for great thinkers, for great priests and theologians like Father Joseph Clifford Fenton, whose memory is almost lost, and yet who has left us a legacy in his writings, and especially with this book. We ask you, O Lord, to build up your family, to strengthen the church, to advance the mission of the faithful through clergy and laity alike. I pray especially for my brothers and sisters who have viewed this until now, and ask that you would give to them not just the resolve to purchase a book, but to really allow the Holy Spirit to renew them in their faith and in their outreach to their family members and friends. At the same time, we pray that you would speak to the hearts and the minds of your people to give to them a humble and grateful confidence in what is the certitude of faith. We ask this, as we always do, in the holy and powerful name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.
The Road to Emmaus podcast is a production of the St. Paul Center. To learn more about this episode, visit our show notes at stpaulcenter.com/road. Our production team includes producer and director Beckett Gitto, associate producer Molly Trainer, audio engineer and editor Joseph Palmer. Our host is Dr. Scott Hahn. Subscribe and rate The Road to Emmaus wherever you find this podcast. The St. Paul Center is a nonprofit organization facilitating life-changing encounters with the living Word of God. To find more faith-based resources, visit stpaulcenter.com.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.